Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to another Built to Grow episode. I'm going to be your host today, Randy Engston, joined by Mr. Zach Columbia.
Hey.
We've got a good one for you guys today. This is a kind of a perfect episode for me and Zach to kind of to dive into. We're going to be talking about the transparency with your team. What items should you and should you not be sharing, whether it be, you know, downhill, sideways, things like that with your team. We're going to dive in. Right to it. This is something that Zach kind of brought up, and I think it holds some weight because I know gym owners, you know, some of you guys want to be transparent to the inner workings of the business. Where do you draw that line? What items should we keep off of our team's plate and out of their minds so that they're not maybe worried about it or they just don't need to know about it? But why don't you just kind of take the lead and kind of give a little context of why this kind of bubbled up and you felt it was worth sharing.
Yeah, well, one of the things, I've been thinking about this for quite some time, and I was putting together an intake form at the beginning of the year for our director circle, mm-hmm. Intake form for the gym owner, intake form for the director, and on the owner intake form, I asked a couple of questions. One was, are you comfortable sharing the financials of the business with your director or potential director,
sure.
Right? Because that's what we have in the director circle. That was the first question. And the results were, I would say like 60-40, we're comfortable with this. Okay. And then the other question I asked is, are you comfortable sharing with your director, potential director, what you take home?
Uh-huh.
And it was like 99% no.
Sure.
Right. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that, but it kind of spurred this thought of, okay, what information should you share with your team? What information shouldn't you share with your team? Now, obviously, like, a director is going to be privy to more information than what's going to be useful for the team to know. Mm-hmm. But it kind of brought about like this question of, okay, what should the team know? What should the team not know? And I have a lot of, I guess, personal experience with mm-hmm. sharing things with the team and then determining like what that line is. Right.
Sure.
And so I'll give you kind of like the place that I think we should always come from when we're sharing information with the team. And then what things we kind of should share, shouldn't share,
sure.
or at least advise. So first of all, is like, you have to remember that your training staff is your training staff,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, their focus is on coming in and, or should be on coming in, delivering a great training experience for the clients and, you know, running the day-to-day like operations of that job responsibility, paying attention to the environment and all of those things, right? I don't think that it makes sense to share with that group your financial information,
mm-hmm.
right? Instead of sharing like, hey, this year we did $750,000 in training revenue, and then doing your P&L and breaking down all of your expenses and all that, right? Maybe instead of focusing on those numbers with the trainer, we focus on those numbers with the director. And then with the training staff, we focus on something like membership, total number of members, right?
Okay.
So, and if your coaches know your pricing and they know your membership, like, they can kind of figure it out, right?
Yeah.
But for them, that's probably a decent thing to focus on where we're not overwhelming them, right?
Sure.
It's just like, hey, your goal is to train the clients, deliver great training experience so that we can keep the clients, right? And we want to see that membership number grow.
Smart.
So when we grow that number, the gym's winning, you guys are winning, right?
Yeah.
And then another key number that we should share with our staff is churn.
There you go.
Because those two are directly related, right? Mm-hmm. So we want our team to know what our churn rate is. And that's something that we should be constantly trying to get to improve and have our team focusing on.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
That's a pretty straightforward one, and getting your team to understand what that means, and then getting them to understand what impact that has on the business and on them specifically.
There you go. Okay.
I remember very early on when I was just a trainer here and then kind of early days of a director, we focused really heavily on this 300 member number.
I remember.
Oh, right. Yeah. It was like, we could need 300 members. And it was almost like in the coach's mind, when we got to 300, everybody was going to get a raise type of thing. Right. And so that was a mistake. Like, we shouldn't have done that. Now focusing on, hey, we've got this membership goal, we want to grow it, but relating that number to financial success for the coaching team wasn't necessarily a good idea, because we got to 300 and then it's like, well, we're at 300, but we're not making any more money. Right?
Sure. Yeah. What's like, in it for me type of thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. So, well, and as a business, we weren't making any more money. It's like those 300, maybe we lost some semi-private higher paying clients. We added some boot campers. Like, it was not the financially, it wasn't adding up.
Sure.
Right. And so I think relating that to like a dollar amount doesn't necessarily make sense. Right. But focusing on growing the membership, focusing on improving your churn rate, focusing on increasing kind of the same thing, but increasing the length lifetime of a membership.
Sure.
Really important. But then we also have to look at this through a coach's lens.
Mm-hmm.
And for a coach, they're not having cancellations. Members cancel their memberships. Doesn't really impact a trainer, right? Financially, like they don't feel it like the way
we pay, you know, structure wise.
Yeah. The way you probably should pay, which is correct, just like an hourly rate, because that ends up working better for you as the gym owner. But for a coach, they're not really concerning themselves with that because financially it's not impacting them.
Hey guys, as you know, at Built to Grow, we're all about systems and scalability. And that's why I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Semi-Private Pro. Several years ago, I was in our gym looking around and I noticed our coaches were staring at their clipboards, struggling to stay one step ahead of the clients. And I thought, gosh, there has to be a better way. So I tasked Zach, our fitness director, and I said, dude, we got to find a software that would enhance our clients' training experience and increase our coaches' levels of engagement. See, we're all about client experience here. After countless demos, we realized there was literally nothing designed for our training model. So we set out on a mission and I said, look, we got to create an app that is designed specifically for semi-private training. And I can tell you guys this firsthand, this is taking our training to new heights, and I'm confident it can do the same thing for you. See, with Semi-Private Pro, you can streamline your training system, enhance client engagement, and scale like never before without spending hours on programming. To learn more about how you can get started with Semi-Private Pro, head on over to special link here, semiprivatepro.com/BTG. That's Built to Grow. So just head on over real quick to semiprivatepro.com/BTG to check out a demo for yourself.
Yeah, they don't, and that's something I wanted to paint too. The structure of how you pay your staff and the responsibilities of your coaching team. We don't believe our coaches are responsible for selling. While they should have a understanding of the needs of the business, you know, like, hey, we need more people. We need money coming in the door to pay the bills. We don't have a direct responsibility for them to actually sell from a trainer, from the coaching seat, correct?
Yeah.
And I think that's in alignment, like, versus, and just kind of painting the picture left to right, right? Your financials with your director, they have a direct responsibility to the financials of the business.
Correct.
Let's have that conversation, transparency here. Your coaching team, the one things, you know, like the KPIs to follow, key performance indicators, right, for that seat should be something along the lines of like total membership base, length of membership, you know, how many members we are losing every month. And if that does have a correlation to their ability to perform? You know what I mean? Or is that a direct response, direct result of their maybe lack of performance or their performance as a coach, right? If we could draw those lines, then obviously we have to do better so that we can keep people coming, staying, and paying longer.
Yes. But what we want to do is we want to focus on that those numbers as like whole numbers versus like individual. And so what I mean by that is as a coach, your focus is on coaching, working with the clients, developing relationships with the clients. What really is just depressing is going from that to moving to a director role where you are looking at the people as numbers to some degree. As a business owner, you may or may not be super involved, kind of depends. So to you, like the names don't necessarily mean a relationship. They just mean, hey, this person pays me X amount per month, right? And so the director's kind of in the middle of that where you have the relationship with the client because you're bringing them in, you're selling them, you're signing them up, and then they cancel their membership. And that's really depressing.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So not only is the director losing the revenue, but also losing the person, the relationship. The client, the coach should only be losing the relationship, not the revenue. Right. And the reason for that is because if as a coach, I lose a client and I directly relate that to the revenue, now my potential to make more money is lower. My potential to move up in the company is lower. And I start looking at other places to go.
Sure.
And so this is a retention thing from your coaching staff is like, hey, we can share like, hey guys, we're at 300 members. Hey guys, we're at 298 members, which means we went down a little bit, but I'm not going, we lost this client and this client. And here's the impact that that had on our business.
Sure.
Right. We're focusing on how could we have kept those people? Right. Yeah. How can we do a better job so that in the future this doesn't happen? Right. And so then we're using it as a teaching lesson. We don't want to share necessarily why those people left either, unless there's an opportunity there for us to improve. Okay. So I'll give you an example of this. One of the times that I used this like a direct, hey, you guys have been training this person. This client moved 10 minutes away. Like 10 minutes, they lived 15 minutes away. They moved 10 minutes further away.
Sure.
And I brought the staff in and I was like, listen, guys, what we just learned from Karen, this lady, Karen, that's her actual name. She was a very lovely person. But what we just learned from this is that in her mind, you guys weren't worth 10 extra minutes of her time, right? So you guys need to do a better job of connecting with the clients and building the relationship and delivering a better service so that those 10 minutes are irrelevant to that individual, right?
The values far exceeds the 10 extra minutes.
So most of the time I'm not going to do that where a client comes in and I'm like, you guys are sucking, right? Like you guys need to step up your game and all that. But I thought that was a really unique opportunity to say, hey guys, if we had done a little bit better job here, that 10 minutes wouldn't have mattered to that.
You probably would have saved that extra.
Yes. And so that would be the one time where I'm focusing on like a negative versus like a positive of, hey, we need to make sure we're, you know, tracking everything better or, you know, faster on the floor, what have you. Right. But again, most of the time I'm just focusing on the global big membership numbers versus like the individual themselves.
Yeah.
So that our clients don't, or our coaches don't feel like they're losing a relationship.
And, you know, and I can see that too, especially with the financial side, right? Somebody falls into hardship or they're, you know, change a job, lose a job. Like if fitness become like the option to have a membership is really off the table, the last thing we want to do is put that in our coach's mind and say, hey, you know what? You know, so-and-so can't come anymore and they don't have the full picture, but yet because it's financial, they feel the loss of the relationship and there's probably nothing that they could have done to save it.
Nothing,
you know what
that
I mean?
They could have done. Exactly. So, there's no teaching opportunity there.
Exactly.
And that's probably the worst thing about being a coach is that you invest your time and all of your energy into this individual to get them better results. And then that relationship ends and it's just like, adios, right? Yeah. So like, as a coach, that kind of leaves you just disappointed. And you're like, you can get jaded from that,
and
right?
Then, so I try to protect avoid. Yeah, the team. I was just going to say, sometimes the things that you don't share is actually for like protecting the mindset of the coach and protecting kind of the way that they view their responsibility within the four walls.
Yeah. And that's like Brandy on our team. Mm-hmm. She's like the next in line kind of to take over for me if I ever moved on beyond this position into more pro fit stuff or whatever. But one of the kind of hesitancies that Tim and I both have around that is like, hey, I can never not take the brunt of membership cancellations and the like anybody complaining, anybody wanting to, that we have to tell no necessarily, because she's the like loving, caring, I'm going to like
empath. Take,
yes, I'm going to build this relationship with you. And Tim and I've had this conversation many times where I'm like, the director role would crush her.
Sure,
she would be devastated because of the broken relationships all the time.
Yeah.
To whereas I'm just like, all right.
And just, you've taken the reps. Yeah,
I got the scar tissue. Right?
Exactly,
I got the scar tissue. It's happened enough times. So, so anyway, that's one piece of it or one element. The other thing that I would say that you do want to share with your team is, all of your marketing data, all of your marketing expenses and numbers. Okay. So one thing, not only do we not want a coach to leave because they get depressed about the position and get jaded, we don't want them to leave because they are concerned financially that the business isn't doing well, right? You ever want to lose a team fast? We talked a little bit about this last time I was on here, is not having direction and vision and confidence from the leadership standpoint of where the business is headed. But the other thing that you don't want to do is you don't want a coach thinking they can just go open their own training studio, right? And take your clients with you.
Sure.
And so you want your team to understand that it does take a team approach. And so one of the things that I'm very transparent about is sharing how much money we spend on marketing, our marketing expense every month, and our ad spend. I'm very open and transparent about sharing our cost to book, our cost to show, our average order value, our cost per acquisition, right? Like all of those things, I want the team to understand. When I have somebody that comes in for their very first training session with you, your first interaction with this individual, they have gone through this entire process and it is costly, us X amount to get them to stand in front of you and for you to be able to coach that person. And so not only is it like, I want the coach to understand, man, there's a big investment there to be able to get a client, from a standpoint of like, you might not just be able to go do that on your own, right?
Yeah.
And then the other piece of that is like, you need to take care of that client. You need to over deliver for that client so that they stick around, so that our churn rate is lower, right? And so that we're keeping this client longer, and the client lifetime value of that person is going to be better, and you're going to be able to coach that person long term, and you're not going to be heartbroken if they leave. Like all of these things kind of come together, right? And then also kind of sharing that information with the coach. And I always do it from a positive standpoint, right? It's never like, oh, we're in trouble, we don't have enough leads or enough people coming in or anything like that. It's always from a standpoint of like, hey guys, here's the reality. It cost us, you know, so far this year, $550 to acquire a client. Like that's a big expense, right? If the average lifetime of a client is, you know, 18 months, we're going to keep this person for 18 months, then we're going to have a good profit off of that person. But if that person leaves after a month because we didn't do a good job, right, then all of a sudden, like, we're losing money, right? So it's not, we're not losing money, but I mean, it's taking a machine to keep that running, and that's not a good business model.
I love that too, because a lot of coaches in the, you know, everybody, you don't know what you don't know type of thing. When it comes to acquiring a client, marketing, the work, not just the money, but the work that goes into getting somebody to actually come in our four walls, sign up for a membership and be there day one for a training session. if they're ignorant to all of that and they just take that as, oh, it's easy, I just get fed, you know, people who train, yeah, they don't have the idea. They don't have the emphasis on that relationship that they might put if they did have all of that transparency. That's and understanding. Right. And, you know, back to our old buddy Todd Brown, when, you know, his do not underestimate the task at hand. And getting somebody from their couch or stranger to come in, sign up for a new membership and be, you know, in your training program is a massive undertaking. And we take it for granted sometimes because it's a part of system. Our everyday system. Yeah, we just have to do it, you know, number of times each week. But with the emphasis on what that actually takes, I mean, I talk to gym owners every day that underestimate that task. You know what I mean? And if we're putting them in front of our team, and our team's job is to deliver a superior, you know, training experience and do that repetitively over how many years, they better have some emphasis on that relationship. They better have a reason to have that buy-in and treat that person, you know, with that next level of care and compassion and effort and so forth. And I think that the only way to do that, I love the marketing side of it with your team, because there is also that little tangent in the side of them. Most coaches are phenomenal coaches. I mean, gym owners that I've spoken with, they come from that seat. They're still phenomenal coaches. Becoming the business is an entire, you know, when you open up a gym and you sign your name on and your personal guarantee and all of that, your role and responsibility changes entirely. You know, it's unfortunate. It's kind of weird, but like one of the lowest items on the totem pole is actually delivering that service.
Yeah.
The team, you know, in these situations, right? We have a team that can handle that. And we put that on the team and the system, but to balance the financial aspect of it and the quality of care and level of training that we expect, keeping some of that stuff off of people who aren't directly impacting, you know, or I mean, I say are impacting, but aren't responsible for the number at the end of the day. I think that saves a lot of that mentality, but without it being completely lost. You know what I mean? Like you've done it in a way where they understand the severity and the importance of their role and responsibility, but they don't have, they're not at risk, you know, of losing their pay and things like that. If those numbers, you know, that are affected aren't directly correlated with, you know, their performance and things like that over time. So it's a great way of mitigating it, but also still putting some responsibility on there so that they have kind of almost a buy-in, you know, to what's happening.
Hey, successful gym owners, is your gym on solid ground pulling in at least $30,000 per month? But you're wondering what's next? Well, we've got the answer for you. It's the Iron Circle. The Iron Circle is an exclusive growth community tailored specifically to gym owners just like you, those striving for the next level of success. We're all about real world knowledge and strategies to boost your business to new heights. To find out more, visit our website at ironcircle.net. It's the Iron Circle because you're not just running a gym, you are building a legacy. All right, let's get back to the show.
Well, and you want a cohesive team approach, right? And you want your coaches to understand that hey, it does take a team to fulfill on this. It's not just you showing up and training the clients. And while that's an incredibly important role, that's not the role,
sure,
right? If the trainer isn't there to deliver the training, then we don't have anything to sell, right? If the person isn't there to sell it, then there's nobody to train. Yeah. It's like, so the whole goal here is like, one, we want to keep our coaches, right? So we want them to understand, come from a place of understanding, a place of confidence and security.
Sure.
A place of like, hey, I can't really do this on my own. Right. And so any information that we're going to share with them should be like for that purpose and to get that coach to buy in even more into the team, right? Sharing financial data, you know, like, is that going to help them? Is that not going to help them? Probably not. It's not going to make them better at doing their job. It's not going to make them better at keeping the clients, right? If our clients understood that, you know, we have a machine in the background that allows us to replace clients at kind of will, you know,
sure,
like if they understood to the degree at which that system operates, then that client doesn't have as much value anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like we want to provide them with the data that's going to help move the business forward and prevent them from understanding, you know, really like, okay, hey, we generated all this revenue and we're bringing in this many leads and this many clients and all of this per month. So, that, and then, you know, you can share big expenses with your team to kind of put it into terms of, or to get their perception, control their perception a little bit of, hey guys, like, you know, we're bringing in this new service, like we're bringing Stretch in right now. Right. And one of the first things that Evans does, he told me yesterday to call with him. One of the first things he does is he explains to all the team that's there of, hey, the business owner invested $2,000 a piece for you guys to get certified and learn this. Right. Well, that's something that's pretty cool because then it makes the employee feel valued. And so like, I wouldn't be afraid to say like, hey, I'm investing this amount in you. Now I wouldn't share like, hey, I'm investing this amount in this coach's payroll and this amount in your payroll. Like they don't need to know that. But don't think that coaches won't talk about that behind your back. So you probably want to have everybody pretty close. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's kind of the key is come from a place of like if you're going to share information with your coaches, it's to keep the coaches and to get them to do a better job and be more bought in.
Yeah, I think that ultimately, you know, both left, right, whether it's the coach, the fitness director, I mean, the information that you're sharing should be a direct, like they should have a direct responsibility or a direct impact on the result within the information that you're sharing, right? Retention, sure, coaches have a very big hand in how long somebody's going to stay. That's, you know, the churn rate, all of those types of things. Those can be directly responsible or a direct result of the coaching efforts that they're putting forward. So by sharing some of that information, you're increasing their buy-in. They want to show up and do a better job at coaching without the worry of the financials of something that it's not on their plate. It's not something that they directly impact consistently, you know, from that same tune. Let's not even bother them with it. Right. Yep. And so that, you know, reserve that stuff to the positions that is part of the role and responsibility, you know, immediately. And I think that makes the most sense. So I think do you have anything else to share there? I think that covers it. I mean, the only thing I would add is, and this is something that I started my journey in corporate stuff and then I got the hell out of it. But they always told us, you know, never complain down. And that was a big thing, right? So if you're a business owner, if you're a fitness director, outside of the things that you do share, let's say you get hit with a big expense or you get hit with, you know, an audit or you get hit with something that impacts you and your position in the business, make sure that you protect your team from that stuff.
Yes.
Do not share, you know, the woes me, the battle, the struggle. Like that's your job. That's your responsibility to protect them, to make sure that they're secure, make sure that they don't feel kind of the arrows, you know, that you're taking on. I think for me, that's a huge one too.
Yeah. And I'll just, before we wrap up, I'll share a quick little story. When I was a coach here and there was a director before me, I remember being in a meeting with the director and he said to me, well, we're still a young business. We don't even know if we're going to make it or not.
And that made you feel really, really secure.
Yeah.
Didn't it?
So as a coach, I remember going home that day and I was like, hey, maybe I should just like, you know, do a job search and see what's out there. I didn't. But I just remember thinking that of like, hey, maybe I should go out and just maybe put some feelers out. So I have a backup plan.
Yeah.
That was like, why would you say something like that to a staff member or for a team? We know the life of a coach is a year, right? Mm-hmm. In the industry, without vision, without confidence, without security, like you're going to push those people out. You're taking on arrows. Well, guess what? You're going to now have to cover training as a business owner or as a director because you just basically pushed your staff out the door sharing information with them that you shouldn't have shared with them. You didn't use it as a teaching opportunity. You didn't use it to get more buy-in from them, right? So
yeah,
that wasn't very wise on his part, but it was a helpful lesson to me because I never did that as a director.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah, delayed coaching.
I was like, don't ever do that. So anyway, that's all.
Well, as always, guys, it's another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. Keep changing lives.
All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Built to Grow podcast. If you want more help growing your business, join our free Facebook group, Profit Accelerator, helping training gyms grow to $30,000 a month and beyond. We'd love to see you there. Go check out the show notes for the link and keep building something great. And we'll see you in the next episode.